All right, so I want to start off with a question for you today, which is, have you ever found something in your life so valuable that you geared everything in your life towards that thing? Maybe it was a goal. Maybe it was a career. Maybe it was a car or a house. But has there ever been something that you found so valuable you decided you were going to give up everything in your life, no matter what it was, you were going to put that behind you and focus solely on this one thing? If you know who Rudy Rudiger is, yeah, that's right, Dennis. That one thing was Notre Dame football, right? Notre Dame football. From the time he was a kid, he grew up going, I love Notre Dame. That was who they watched on TV. It was the only football allowed in their house. And he said, I want to play football for Notre Dame. There was a problem for Rudy. Rudy was 5'6 and 160, which, you know, at a Division I school is pretty small anyway, but at Notre Dame, one of the football powerhouses, your defensive backs are much larger than that. They're usually the smallest players on the field. Here he is, 5'6", 160. That's his dream, though, to play football for Notre Dame. And at some point, he decides that that goal is worth more than anything else. He's got a job, he quits. He lives close to his family, he moves away from his family to be in South Bend. He was never really a good student. He concentrates harder on his grades than he ever had. He had to go to a junior college first in order to try and get into Notre Dame. Girlfriend gone. Everything is gone so that he can focus on making it into Notre Dame first and secondly to be on the team. He takes a job painting lines on the field and doing that kind of stuff simply so that he can just be out on the field of Notre Dame. He gives up everything in his life because he found playing football for Notre Dame to matter more than any of those other things. Of course, if you know the story, if you've seen the movie, you know he makes the team. He is out there for a grand total of 2 plays, but he sacks Georgia Tech's quarterback. His teammates who knew everything he had been through raise him on his shoulders, take him off the field. It's a great story, right? We look at Rudy and say, man, that guy found what was most important to him and he gave up everything in order to get it. Well, today we're going to be talking about that character trait, that willingness that once you have found the most important thing, to give up everything else and pursue it. In fact, Jesus says that that is actually a necessary trait to have. You'll open your Bibles, or it'll also be up on the screen. It's Matthew 13, 45 through 46. Matthew 13, 45 through 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. So Jesus compares the kingdom of heaven to a merchant who is kind of like Rudy. He finds the one thing that's more valuable, in this case a pearl, which was extremely valuable to start with. But he finds one that is so beautiful or big or whatever quality it had. He said, this pearl, I'm selling everything. No matter what it is, I am buying this pearl. And Jesus says that that is what the kingdom of heaven can be compared to, that it's like that. So to put it very plainly, the kingdom of heaven is inhabited by people who, upon finding Jesus, find him more valuable than anything else, and they put him above everything else in their lives. He takes the number one spot. Everything else is a distant second. It comes behind Jesus. So that's a big weight. Think about that. Everything, no matter what, everything comes after Jesus. And we're going to talk about some of those things today that might get in our way. And on the surface, and even in reality, they are important and they have value, but their value is secondary to the value of Jesus. So first of all, though, if we're going to get there, if we're going to get to a point where we can say everything else is secondary to Jesus, we have to know why it is that Jesus is so valuable. What is it that makes Jesus more valuable than everything else, that we should be willing to give up everything else in our life in order to have Jesus? So the first point here is that Jesus is God. What makes Jesus so valuable? He is God. He is the second person of the Trinity. He is God the Son. Jesus is God. More than that, we see in John 1 that all things were created through Jesus. Everything was created through Jesus. It says nothing came into being. Everything came through Him. So I hope you would look at something and say that the Creator is always more valuable than the creation. Like, we like things that are created, but they're never more valuable than their Creator. I'm going to use my daughter's art as an example. My girls love to draw things for me. They love to make crafts for me. They bring them to me. I'm like, these are awesome. I love them. But I love my daughters more than I love anything they'll ever make me or anything they'll ever buy me. Because they've created those things. They've worked for those things. But they have more value than that. Jesus, the agent in creation, God, the Son, is going to have more value than any created thing. Secondly, Jesus is so valuable because He's the only way back to God the Father. Jesus is the answer to the ultimate problem. That ultimate problem is that sin has separated us from God. It started Adam and Eve. They sinned, and because of that, this whole world, including our own lives, have been corrupted by sin. And because of sin, we cannot be in a holy God's presence. More than that, we could never do enough good things. We could never earn God's favor back. Once you have sinned and you are imperfect, you cannot be in a perfect God's presence. And yet Jesus came to repair that breakage. He came and did it by giving His very life on the cross for you, for me. He spilled His blood. He died for our sins so that we could be reconciled to God the Father. That makes Him more valuable than anything else, because nothing else can do that for you. No amount of money, not the family you were born into, not, giving everything you have to charity, not working for a charity. None of that can get you back to God. Only Jesus dying on the cross can do that. Only through faith in Him can that be achieved. Finally, what makes Jesus so valuable is that the reward in Him is eternal. It's eternal. It lasts forever. It's not like something you could win now and break later. So if you think about a Christmas story, He wins the leg lamp, right? And it's all great. He wins this major award. And like within a week, that thing's broken. All right? Now, obviously, there's other things you might earn that last longer than that. But ultimately, you can take none of those things with you. A car is good for, what, 10 years? And then you could restore it, and it's good for another 10 years, and then you're restoring it again. Jobs can be lost. Money can be stolen. Things can be broken. And even if you have something to the very end, you can't take it with you. When you die, it's still here. You can take none of that with you. But Jesus is eternal. If you have faith in Him, you will be with Him forever. You will be with God the Father forever. He is more valuable than anything else because He is more permanent than anything else. Nothing else has that permanence. Only God. Only Jesus have that. So, if He is, and He is, more valuable than anything else, what does it look like for us to give up everything? So some people, this actually means, like, you actually see in Scripture, sometimes Jesus is like, sell it all. Leave it all behind. Now, that's not everyone's call. In fact, I would not say that that's most people's call to literally sell everything. But the point is that everything we should consider expendable if God calls us to give it up. So I'd say the first thing that it means to place Jesus above all else in our lives means that primarily we have faith in Him above anything else. We do not put our faith in anything else for our salvation. It is in Jesus and Jesus alone. It is not in your good works. It is not in a government. It is not in a job. You are not relying on anything else for your salvation other than Jesus' death on the cross for your sins and His resurrection. That comes first. Anything else you should not put your faith in at all. So to leave everything else behind, to sell it all, looks like we put our faith in Jesus and nothing else for our salvation. But it means more than just that as well, I would say. It means that we put nothing else before Jesus or His mission. So the mission of Jesus is to see the kingdom of God established now through spreading the gospel to people so that they can hear it and repent and have faith in it and become reconciled with God. Here in Wakefield or in Lynn or in Boston or in Uganda or Thailand or wherever it may be, that is the mission of Jesus, and it is more important than anything else in our lives. If we are going to put Jesus above everything else, it means that we also put His mission and what He says above everything else as well. Sorry, would somebody be so kind? There's a couple with a kid looking out back there. I think they're trying to find the nursery. If somebody would help guide them. It's like the third time. Thank you, guys. Don't want, they're looking lost. All right. So when I say we put nothing else before Jesus and His mission, I literally mean nothing. Hey, Dave, not family? Not family. We do not put family before Jesus. And I don't want you to think this is just me being harsh about this. These were Jesus' own words. Jesus said, anybody who loves mother or father more than Him is not worthy of Him. He said, anybody who loves son or daughter more than Him is not worthy of Him. Like, those are pretty severe statements, right? Like, those are an absolute. Like, you cannot put any person, not your mom, not your dad, not your son, not your daughter, not your brother, your sister, nobody can be put before Jesus. That's really important, especially when someone's first considering coming to faith or when they first come to faith, because a lot of times families don't understand that. If you come from a family who is not Christian, who does not believe in Jesus, they could look at you and be like, what? Why are you following this guy who lived 2,000 years ago, whose ways seem very antiquated? Why would you follow him? Jesus guaranteed that this would happen with people, that their family members would look at them and say, what? They would disown them. In fact, if it was illegal to be a Christian, He said, hey, family members are going to turn you over to the authorities. If you do not value Jesus more than your family, then how are you going to stand when things like that come? How are you going to stand in your faith if you value your mother or your father or a brother or sister more than Jesus? Or what if you are called to go far from your family? Right? Jesus wants people from where? Every tribe, every tongue, every nation, He said, to believe in Him. How are they going to believe in Him if nobody comes with the gospel message to them? So He might call you someday, or He might call your child someday to go to Africa, or to go to Southeast Asia, or Europe, wherever, South America, wherever the case may be. He might call you or someone you love to do that. How are you going to let them go if Jesus is not valued above all other things? Or if you are the one who is called, how are you going to go if you value your family more than you value Jesus. This is a tough one for me because, as you guys know, I am 2,000 miles from my family, which, you know, when we consider some of the places we just talked about, Africa, South America, Asia, isn't that far, but it's far enough to make a difference. You know, it would be nice if every Saturday I could get together with my brother and we could watch our kids grow up together. It would be nice if every hunting season I could go hunting with my dad and brother. It would be nice if every Sunday after church I could go home and play cards with my mom. Those things would all be great. It would be nice if when I needed a babysitter and it was an emergency, I wasn't having to burden one of you guys by calling you saying, "Hey, so this came up, can you watch?" And you guys are great as a church. Our kids have been watched by so many of you. But it's hard making that call because you're not my family. Like, it's easy. "Hey, mom, dad, can you make this sacrifice for me? Thanks." It's much harder to do that with other people. It would be great to have all of that. But God has called us here. He has called us to the Boston area for however long, 20 years, 50 years, the rest of our lives, whatever it may be. And it's hard to be here, but we are here because Jesus and His mission are worth more than anything else. And if we are called here, then we're called here. And we will gladly give up those other things to be here because of that. So not even family can be put above Jesus. We cannot put our careers above Jesus either. This is a hard one. I don't know if I've ever seen a city that is more driven by careers than Boston and its surrounding areas. I know most big cities are that way. But people put their career above everything else. I see people in the church put their career above everything else. And I know we have a lot of people who work in the medical industry and, you know, there's always something going wrong. There's always people who need to be taken care of. So I'm not talking about, "Oh, I had to work a Sunday," or "I had to work a Sunday or two." But I'm talking about people who are like, "I took the Sunday shift for the foreseeable future, and I won't be in church anymore fellowshipping with the body of Christ." All they saw was dollars and cents or another rung on their career ladder, and they took a job that takes them out of their local church, out of the body of Christ where we are called to be, where we are called to fellowship on a regular basis. If that is your job now, see if you can do something about it, please. Look for another job, because no career is more valuable than Jesus. Your career someday will come to an end, or it could be taken from you much sooner. Point is it is not more valuable than Jesus. No amount of money is. All right, I know we got a couple kids in here, so this next one, I have to be careful about how I talk about it. We do not put sex before Jesus. Dennis again. But we don't. I say that because this is a culture that puts sex above a lot of things. You see people, their whole entire life is driven around and by sex. So what does it mean for us not to put sex before God? Well, it means we don't disregard what God's teachings are about sex. Sex is to be between a husband and a wife only. That's it, period. Not between fiancés, not between a boyfriend and a girlfriend, not between strangers. It is to be between a husband and a wife only. But I've had conversations with people in church who go, "I'm not doing that. I don't care what it says. I am not doing that. I am not giving up sex because of what it says in the Bible. I'm not doing it." Most of the time I've had a conversation like that with a person, it is the last time I see them in a church. Because they've literally just said, "It doesn't matter what God says, I value it more than God. I'm taking that. I value it more." This also means that we don't put our finances before Jesus. this really can manifest itself in two ways that I see primarily. One is we get stingy with God. God who has given us everything, and yet we're like, I don't want to give this. I don't want to give to the church. Or maybe you felt called to give to a missionary, and you're like, I don't want to give to a missionary. I don't want to give my money that I've earned up. It would blow my budget up for this month. Or I was saving for that vacation, or I was saving for that TV. We get stingy with God when we put our finances above Jesus. We also get stingy with other people when we put our finances above Jesus. Jesus has called us to be generous not only with God, but with everybody. We are to be generous people. You don't ever see Jesus look at somebody who is stingy and like say, oh, hey, that is a great example of who to be. No, you see him look at the widow who was giving everything as she had as an offering. And he didn't say, whoa, 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 she should have like saved half of that for herself. No, he commends her and says, that is how your heart should be. She gave everything she had. She's poor, and yet she gave it all. You see him commend people who are generous towards others, and you see Jesus call out people who are stingy. You haven't done this for me. I've been within your presence the whole time. You haven't done anything for me. And yet here, when people have done something for me, he says, this is generous. This is how you should be. So if you find yourself that you are stingy with God or stingy with people, then maybe your finances have taken a higher priority in your life than Jesus has. And at the very end of it, we have to say that we cannot even value our own lives more than we value Jesus. Not even our own lives. Jesus said that anybody who wishes to save his life would lose it. But anybody who would lose his life for the sake of Jesus would find it. Jesus calls us to be willing to give up our very lives. Sometimes that will mean your actual life. Like you might be called to be a martyr. Probably not in America. We don't see too many martyrs around, right? But every day, all over the world, people die for their faith in Jesus. Their very life is on the line for Jesus. But they value Jesus more than they value their own lives. There is a quote, actually originally from like a 17th century English preacher, but it was really made famous by a guy named Jim Elliot. You know who Jim Elliot was? He was a missionary who was martyred in Ecuador, mid-20th century. And after he had been killed by the people, the very people he was trying to reach, his wife and some other people had gone back through his stuff, and in his diary he had written down this quote. He is no fool to give up what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. He is no fool to give up what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. And the context it was in his diary was about being willing to give up his life for the cause of Jesus, to take the gospel to people who had never heard of him. And he was a great preacher. Many people are like, why would you want to go there? You're so talented, you could have a great church here. And he said, no, I'm called there. I value Jesus more than my own life. I value his mission more than my own life. And he got to live that out. Now the examples of what we could put before Jesus go on and on and on. I don't want to keep rambling on, but whatever it might be, there might be something I have not hit today that you know you value more than Jesus. Whatever that thing is, readjust your value system. Because whatever it is, it doesn't matter what it is not more valuable than Jesus. It cannot be, no matter what you think. If your faith is already in Jesus and you found that some of these things have started to creep back into your life because they do, because we're still in these bodies that are not perfect, And because those things are here and they're now and they're close, and sometimes it's really hard to have that vision of eternity and to have the big picture in our mind at all times. If those things have started to creep back into your life, then confess and repent to God. Because the great thing is that because of Jesus' death, because of His resurrection, we have forgiveness through Him. We have grace so that when we fall, we're forgiven. But it takes us readjusting our focus. Remember the value of Jesus. I want to read one more passage of Scripture. It's not going to be up there, but it's 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 25. And I want to read it because I'm not saying that any of these things are easy to give up, because they're not. But I'm saying that we should value Jesus so much that we need to be willing to have the self-discipline in order to give them up. But we have that discipline because we see how valuable Jesus is. So it's 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 25. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. That verse has been on my mind a bunch because the Olympics are going on right now, and I'm a competition junkie, so I love watching the Olympics. And you see what these athletes give up, what they have to do in order to perform at the level that they are competing at. But they're doing it for temporary fame and temporary glory. And they're willing to give those things up for that. We should be willing to give things up for something that is not ever going away. Something that is more rewarding than that. Jesus, God Himself. When your faith is in Jesus and you die and you get to go see God, you will have Him forever. It's something that can't be taken, can't be lost. That is more valuable than anything else. So when these things start to creep back in, adjust your focus. Take your focus off those things and what they can provide now, and focus on what's most valuable, Jesus and His mission. Let's pray.